I want you to turn with me, if you will, over to the book of Ezekiel in the 21st chapter. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward Jerusalem and drop thy word toward the holy places, and prophesy against the land of Israel, and say to the land of Israel, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I am against thee, and will draw forth my sword out of his sheath, and will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked. Seeing then that I will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked, therefore shall my sword go forth out of his sheath against all flesh from the south to the north, that all flesh may know that I, the Lord, have drawn forth my sword out of his sheath. It shall not return any more. Sigh therefore, thou son of man, with the breaking of thy loins, and with bitterness sigh before their eyes. And it shall be when they say unto thee, Wherefore sighest thou? That thou shalt answer, For the tidings, because it cometh, and every heart shall melt, and all hands shall be feeble, and every spirit shall faint, and all knees shall be weak as water. Behold, it cometh, and shall be brought to pass, saith the Lord God. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord, Say, a sword to sword is sharpened, and also furbished. It is sharpened to make a sore slaughter. It is furbished that it may glitter, should we then make merit. It contemneth the rod of my son as every tree, and he hath given it to be furbished, that it may be handled. This sword is sharpened and is furbished, to give it into the hand of the slayer. Cry and howl, son of man, for it shall be upon my people, it shall be upon all the princes of Israel. Hereof by reason of the sword shall be upon my people. Smite therefore upon thy thigh, because it is a trial. And what if the sword contempt even the rod? It shall be no more, saith the Lord God. Thou therefore, son of man, prophesy and smite thine hands together, and let the sword be doubled a third time. The sword of the slain, it is the sword of the great men that are slain, which entereth into their private chambers. I have set the point of the sword against all their gates, that their heart may faint and their ruins be multiplied. Ah, it is made bright, it is wrapped up for the slaughter. Go thee one way or other, either on the right hand or on the left. Whithersoever thy face is set, I will also smite mine hands together, and I will cause my fury to rest. I, the Lord, have said it. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, Also thou son of man, appoint thee two ways, that the sword of the king of Babylon may come. Both twain shall come forth out of one land, and choose thou a place. Choose it at the head of the way to the city, upon a way that the sword may come to Rabbah, of the Ammonites and the Judah in Jerusalem, the defense. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of the two ways, to use divination. He made his arrows bright. He consulted with images. He looked in the liver. At his right hand was the divination for Jerusalem to appoint captains, to open the mouth in the slaughter, to lift up the voice with shouting, to appoint battering rams against the gates, to cast them out, and to build a fort. And it shall be unto them as a false divination in their sight, to them that have sworn oaths. But he will call to remembrance the iniquity that they may be taken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you have made your iniquity to be remembered, in that your transgressions are discovered, so that in all your doings your sins do appear. Because I say that ye are come to remembrance, ye shall be taken with the hand. And thou profaned wicked prince of Israel, whose days is come, and iniquity shall have an end. Thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low, and abase him that is high. I will overturn it. It shall be no more until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it him. And thou, son of man, prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord God concerning the Amorites, and concerning their reproach, even say thou, the sword is drawn, for the slaughter it is furbished to consume because of the glittering. While they see vanity unto thee, while they divine a lie unto thee, to bring thee upon the necks of them that are slain, of the wicked whose day is come. When their iniquity shall have an end, shall I cause it to return into his sheath. I will judge thee in the place where thou wast, created in the land of thy nativity. And I will pour out mine indignation upon thee. I will blow against thee in the fire of my wrath, and deliver thee into the hand of brutish men and skillful to destroy. Thou shalt be for fuel to the fire. Thy blood shall be in the midst of a land. Thou shalt be no more remembered, for I, the Lord, have spoken it. One of the greatest prophets of our time, well, not of our time, but of the time of the prophets in the days of old, was Ezekiel. I've heard it said that he was so perfect in the revelation, that is, in types and shadows, that he just walk up to a gate and see some kind of emblem or design on the gate and preach a sermon from it. But God, speaking to Ezekiel, is pointing out the trouble, the horror, and all of the sorrows that is to come and befall Jerusalem in the latter times. But the thing that we must be in remembrance to is that whatever God determines upon Israel in the natural sense is always determined upon us in the spiritual perspective of life. And so then a lot of times in reading the Old Testament or studying the life of Ezekiel or the different prophets of old, you find the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ hid very neatly beneath the veil of the Old Testament. Paul, when he speaks of the Old Testament, he calls it a veil. Which veil, he said, is taken away in the mind of God. That is in Christ Jesus. To be able to go beyond the veil, or to be able to see beyond the veil, is to be able to recognize the fact that Jesus came at Calvary and rent the veil in twain. Now, we preached the message here one time, the rending of the veil. Christ at Calvary came and rent the veil. But a lot of people never saw the rent veil until our day. Paul saw the rent veil and saw the revelation that was laying behind the rent veil. But our people couldn't see it until this day because they were not born into the world until this time. But in this day we have the same privilege that we had in the days of Paul the Apostle when he said, "Now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God." Now we know the manifold wisdom of God. God has given unto us the manifold wisdom of the Almighty God. This wisdom was not made known to mankind until the veil was rent in twain. When the veil was rent in twain, then this wisdom was made known. But the Old Testament was God within the veil. God within the veil, the great tabernacle that was erected in the wilderness, Moses building a commonwealth in the wilderness, and there God was within the veil. God was seen in types and shadows. A lot of times when you say in the veil, Brother Lyman, people don't understand what you mean. But when we say God in the veil, we mean God in types and shadows, God in symbols. This is why that Paul the Apostle was such an outstanding teacher of his day, such a great man. It was because that Paul had made a connection with God that had taken him up beyond the veil. That is, he had been taken away into the third heaven and taken up beyond the veil. And in going up beyond the veil, he saw that God, being a spirit, had projected himself towards humanity or to humanity in the form of symbols and types and shadows. And so then he began to preach the Old Testament as a type and a shadow. And he told the people, said, "Now God is in the Old Testament," but said, "Here God is within the veil." Now when you say God within the veil, again you're saying God within the intellectual thinking of mankind. God hid within the intellectual thinking ability of mankind. Is that right? God hid within man's thought pattern, just like the nucleus of the atom holds the great power that is so powerful called the atomic energy. You've got to split the thoughts, got to get into the thoughts, got to get down to the nucleus, got to get in behind the types and the shadows, get into the veil, get into the human thinking, and go right down to the very core of things, and then you find the Spirit of God. How many understand what I'm saying? So then, the Old Testament is a type and a shadow. It is a veil
And Paul, seeing this, he preached that Abraham's two wives was typical of certain spiritual things like heavenly Jerusalem and earthly Jerusalem. Two wives, one being a bondsmaid, typical of the law and all that serve the law and under the bondage of the law, and one being a true wife, being typical of heavenly Jerusalem and the glorious things of God that come down from heaven. Now, that's wonderful to me. Actually, that isn't too wonderful to you, but that's wonderful to me. Paul, he comes up and he preaches a sermon. He says, now I want to tell you about Abraham's two wives. And so he tells them about Abraham's two wives, and nobody sees anything in it, you know. Nobody gets excited. After all, he just got a good idea here, and his thoughts sound good, and he makes a good comparison. That's all it is to it. But that's not what it is at all. He's trying to tell us in his simple statements here, when he wrote it in the Bible, it's just simple statements, that one of those women represented one thing and one of those women represented another thing, and it's more than just a little sermon or something that you can catalog and say, I know a little bit more about something, you know. But it had a great spiritual significance, and that significance reached all the way from the book of Genesis all the way over to the book of Revelation and out into the eternities. When we preach the revelation of Jesus Christ, it's not just so that you can get another thought or two, so that you can catalog a little more and say, I know a little bit more about what Brother Pike is talking about. But when we preach the revelation of Jesus Christ, we are unveiling the invisible world and presenting to you the invisible God, and you that are not spiritual minded, it passes you by and the others enter into heaven. And you're left into the earth. That's exactly what it means. You're left right here in this world, and they who receive it are translated by this great mind of God into heaven. For heaven is the Spirit, and God is a spiritual revelation. And when your mind is transformed into the heavenly revelation, then you are in heaven. That's why the Bible teaches to be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind, to give the more earnest heed to the things that you have heard, because faith cometh by hearing of the word, and the only way to enter into heaven is through the door. And Jesus said, I am the door, and he is the word, and the word is spirit, and the spirit is revelation. And Paul said, may God give you the spirit of revelation. Amen. So then, seeing these great things take place, Paul, being caught up into the third heaven, he saw these great spiritual enlightenments and the great understanding of God. So then he comes back to earth, and he simply states, now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of the living God. Somebody said, why get excited? Why get excited? After all we're learning is the manifold wisdom of the living God. Why get excited about that? Well, the reason we get excited is because it was the wisdom of God that made bone come to bone. It was the wisdom of God that spoke these teeth into my head. It was the wisdom of God that spoke the pearls into existence that lay in the bottom of the ocean. It was the wisdom of God that made the stars that hang on nothing in the heaven. It was the wisdom of God that created heaven and earth. Now it's made known to the church, mankind, the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right now, the manifold wisdom of God now is made known to the church, the manifold wisdom of the living God. Why should we get excited? Because Paul, why did Paul say that? Paul was no different from Peter. And we just say, why? You know, an apostle, another apostle, Brother Dwight, say, well, so what? Peter was an apostle. Peter had the keys to the kingdom. What's this Paul the apostle? What is he doing? Why is everybody so excited? This Paul the apostle going around talking about a revelation. What's he talking about? Why is everybody so excited over him? Who gave him the right to come out and say, now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God?
Praise the Lord.
You know why he could say that? because he had understood. He had got caught up into the third heaven. He saw things that wasn't lawful, or God wouldn't permit him to speak in that age. And Paul began to see it and began to understand it. And he said, I've learned something. I've learned that God is a spirit. I've learned that God has hid himself in a veil, and God is everywhere. God is above you, and God is in you, and God is through you, and God is everywhere. And the heavens declare his handiwork. I've learned that God is a spirit, that the power, the spirit, the things, as Einstein said, there's a theory of relativity. Paul said, I've learned that everything is relative one to another, that God is everything. So then, God being a spirit, he said, I've learned that even Abraham's wives are typical of symbol, that God's wisdom, God's mind was hid within the story of Abraham and the two wives. And I read the old parchment, Paul said, and I read about Abraham, a man I never met, a man I never seen. I read about it. I read about his wives, and God showed me that he had hid himself within that story and was unveiling himself to me. And he began to tell what the unveiling was. This unveiling, he called the manifold wisdom of God. As he unveiled these types and shadows, as he made known to the church what these symbols was, he said, brethren, this is the manifold wisdom of God. Now, this don't just mean a little bit when you say manifold. You're talking about a whole lot now. See, this is the manifold wisdom of the living God. And so he began to tell them what Sarah represented. And he began to tell them what Hagar represented. And he began to speak about the types and the shadows and the symbols. And finally, just got to the place, he said, all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear. In other words, God is a spirit, and God has so veiled himself in the things of the world until all you've got to do is get in the mind of Christ and rend the veil, penetrate the veil, and get in behind the veil, and then you'll begin to see the manifold wisdom of the living God. That's why we're writing the book called Spiritual Conquest. It's the manifold wisdom of the living God. Now it's made known to the church, the manifold wisdom of the living God. What does this mean, Brother Paul? What does it mean in that you are the teacher of the Gentile church and you are the apostle that was sent to these people, and you say that there's going to be a mystery, and that mystery is that it has to do with a man and wife being one, and that there's going to be a great mystery concerning Christ and the church, and you say that mystery has to do with Brother Pike and his wife, or Brother Taylor and his wife, that it has to do with a man being one with his wife, or his wife being one with him, and that it becomes bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. How many understand what I'm saying? It doesn't mean, Brother Gary, that you will become bone of your wife's bone and flesh of her flesh. It doesn't mean that I will become bone of Sister Betty's flesh and bone, but it means that your wife will become flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone. That's why that when a woman marries a man, the man doesn't take her name, but the woman takes his name, because he doesn't become her body, she becomes his body. And whatever his name is, that's the name of his body. That's the name of his flesh, because she is flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and she no more exists as the woman that she one time was. When I joined the church, and I don't believe you can join the church by putting your name on the roll, but when I joined the church, I was baptized into the membership of the body. The Bible says that we become one flesh. We are baptized into the body by one spirit. Thus I have become part of the body. I am now by means of that spirit, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And because I am flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, I can think like he thinks. I can see like he sees. I can live like he lives. I can enjoy what he enjoys. I can be what he is. And I am what he is in him. The Bible said I'm complete in him. Now then, if Jesus is God, then so is Brother Taylor. If Jesus is God, then so is Brother Gary. Have you understand what I said? That's why the Bible said that he that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me. You understand what I'm saying? Shall sit down in the throne with me, and he shall rule with a rod of iron, and they shall come and bow at your feet and know that I've loved you. Is that right? That's why Paul said they glorified God within me. So then, it's a great mystery. Paul said it's a great mystery, but he said it's now made known to the church. God wants the church to know it. Why? Because this is what we have to understand to be translated into the kingdom of God. If we don't understand these things, we can't be translated. We got to know these things to be translated into the kingdom of God. So there's a great mystery. There's a great mystery concerning the church. Paul said, I've learned something, brethren. I was above my equal in the Bible. I was perfect, blameless concerning the law. And God chose me, and God took me away. And God knew that I'd done everything that I knew to do. Isn't that right? Said he was blameless touching the law. Is that right? A Pharisee of Pharisees. Is that right? That is spiritual people that believed in the resurrection. Paul really believed in it. Isn't that right? And he'd done everything that he knew to do. And the Bible said, if you're faithful over a little, I'll make you rule over a lot. Is that right? So then he took Paul away in the Arabian desert. And now, Paul, you've been faithful over this. I'm going to make you ruler over something else. And then this great Paul the Apostle that knew the Old Testament, he began to revelate. He began to revelate. He began to turn the pages of the Old Testament in Paul's mind. And Paul began to see the wilderness and see the journey and the pilgrimage of Moses and began to see the children of Israel and began to see this little tent that they built and began to see Abraham and Abraham's wives and Jacob and Esau, and his heart began to be enlarged, and the anointing of God came upon him, and all of a sudden Paul realized that something great was taking place like he'd never known before. There was something outstanding begin to move. The veil began to be rent. It began to be taken away, and God began to say, Paul, you're on this side of Calvary. You're on this side of Calvary. Jesus has gone to Calvary, and the veil is rent in twain. You're no more Paul the Apostle, but you're Jesus the Son of God. You're no more Paul the Apostle, but you're Jesus Christ of the earth. And old Paul, he waxed bold, and he said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form the image of God, thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God. Is that right? Said, it's no more I that live, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. Is that right? For it pleased God to reveal Christ in me. Is that right? That's why the Bible says that we should give our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. If God is a spirit, then he needs a body. Is that right? If today Jesus is a quickening spirit, then he needs a human body. Is that right? Jesus' body is sitting at the right hand of the Father. It's the atonement. It's the lamb without spot, without blemish. And today Jesus needs a body. And he wants a body surrendered. He wants a body that will swear to its own hurt. He wants to put you on like a garment. Is that right? He wants to clothe you. Is that right? Clothe you, your spirit, clothe your spirit with his body. Is that right? Why? Because your body is dead because of sin. Isn't that right? What he's trying to do is come to the church, as I brought out in one of our previous messages, that Adam and Eve losing their covering. That covering with the Word. That covering with God's Spirit. He said, you cover with a covering, but not my Spirit. He wants to cover you. Your body is dead for the body of Jesus because of sin. And you're naked without a covering until you are baptized in the name of Jesus. And Paul said, as many as are baptized into the Lord, they put on Christ. He said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision passions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, but reckon your bodies to be dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto the Spirit. For he that is in the flesh cannot please God. That means he that has not been born again is in the flesh. That's what he's saying. He that has not been born again, Paul said, he's in the flesh. He can't please God because he's got the wrong covering. He's got the image of the beast. But he said, you're not in the flesh. That is, you've been born again. That is, you're in the Spirit. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? Make no provision for the flesh. For if you walk in the flesh, it's death. You walk in the Spirit, it's life. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life. Now you understand what I'm saying? Now, what does the Lord want us to do? He wants us to give ourselves unto him.
Amen. Right.
A body, a living, walking, talking, yielded, surrendered sacrifice. Why? Because Jesus is a spirit. And Jesus wants to live in my body. And Jesus wants me to get rid of all of my ambitions, all of my desires, everything I ever wanted to do, and do what his Spirit says do. That it might not be Brother Pike living, but that it might be Jesus. And every desire that comes forth might be according to the Word of God. Every desire that comes forth in my inner being, that it might be according to the Word of the Lord. Might be God's Spirit motivating my body, quickening my members, causing the impulse of my heart, causing the reflex of my body, the intents of my heart. It might be Christ walking within me. Everywhere I go, that it might be Jesus. Like the great Charles Finney.
Amen.
Said he was so mightily anointed of God that he could walk into a plant. He's been known to walk into a textile plant or some kind of plant and just walk in there. And when he walked in there, they'd have to shut the building down. I'm getting hot. Said be hot or cold, and I'm getting hot. He said, the book stated that he could just walk into some place where they had an industry and said they'd have to close the entire industry down. Why? Said he'd just walk in there and there was something about him. You could just feel him literally charged with the Spirit of God. The power of God, the virtue of Christ would just so flow from the man that you could, they said you just had to close it down. Said there was danger of people getting hurt. Said because people just forgot all about what they was doing. Said he could walk down the sidewalk, it was the same way, get into a crowd of people. And the anointing of God was just so rich. That's the way it was with Jesus. When we learn to pray, when we learn to fast, you know, when you walk with Christ, there's something different about you. How do you know that? When you walk with Jesus, they're happy. When you go over to Alabama, when you walk with Jesus, they're happy. When you go to Florida, when you walk with Jesus, they're glad to see you come to Georgia. Because it's something different. There's a life, there's an atmosphere. It stirs something, it creates something, it brings about an understanding, an awakening, and a hope, an inspiration, a vision toward Jesus Christ. When you walk with the Lord. Brother Taylor sings, walk with me, Lord. I like to walk with him too, don't you? Walking with Jesus. Oh, Brother Paul, he walked so close to God. When he discovered these things, he come back and he said, folks, he said, I have found something. He said, I have discovered the man. Full wisdom of the living God. I can tell you where Christ is. I can tell you where he dwells. I can tell you who he is and where he dwells. They've never talked like that before. Somebody would say, well, Paul, where is he? He said, he's in me. He's in me. Somebody said, where's his house? Paul said, I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. Said, he dwells in me. Said, I got a revelation. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. And said, I see him in the sunshine. I see him in the moon. I see him in the stars. I see him in the trees. I see him in everything you look at. I see him. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the manifold wisdom of God now being made to the church. And I said, Paul, how do you know this? He said, because Jesus has hung at Calvary. The veil has been rent in twain. The Old Testament is now open to us. That whereas God was in the veil in the days of Moses, said now when Jesus hung at Calvary, the veil was rent in twain. And the holies of holies is closed to us no more. In the book of Revelation, what does it say? It says that in the clouds of heaven, they look And the Bible said that the temple opened up. And they looked, and inside of the temple, they saw the ark of his covenant. Is that right? What was behind the veil in the Old Testament? What was inside of the little building that Paul had made out of the ram skins and out of the badger skins? What was sitting in there behind that? It was the ark of God's covenant. Isn't that right? And in the book of Revelation, when John got the revelation of Jesus Christ, John knew that little veil back there, he knew that thing was only a type and shadow. And when Paul got it, Paul knew it was only a type and shadow. And when Brother John looks at it, it's altogether different. The devil don't like it, does he? But when John sees it, what does it look like? The Bible said he looked and the heavens was wide open. And there in the midst of the heavens, he saw the ark of God's Testament. Why did he see it? Because he had the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you don't believe it, read it. He had the revelation of Jesus Christ. And therefore, he knew where the Ark of the Covenant was. He knew what the Ark of the Covenant was. He knew what those stones represented. He knew what that rod represented. He knew what that Ark represented. And he knew what those cherubs represented. He knew what God had done back there, how that God within an intellectual veil, God within a type and shadow, had come down to earth and walked in the midst of mankind, and man had not perceived it, and man had not seen it.
Praise the Lord.
But what a beautiful day that we're living in right now. In the Old Testament, here comes God telling Moses, a natural world, a natural thing. But in the days of Jesus, here he come down, not in curtains, not in badger skins, but in a human temple. In the days of Jesus, see, a change completely. A change. I don't have to have the time to go back and break it down in its three stages. Just rending in half the veil. On that side of Calvary, we say BC. In a veil, in a tent. But over here, the temple rent, the veil rent, the veil of the temple cut in half. The inner brother body separated from the outer brother body. The veil of the temple rent. The Lord separated from the Christ as he hanged the Calvary, separating the two, taking the inner brother Lyman away from the outer brother Lyman, destroying the outer brother Lyman because of sin, nailing him to Calvary, buried him in a watery grave, and bringing the inner brother Lyman up, the innocent one, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, not to know him after the flesh is Lyman Cox, but to know him as the Lord Jesus Christ, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, which is after the Spirit. For the Bible said, if this temple be dissolved, this tabernacle be destroyed, we've got another one eternal in the heavens not made with hands. Is that right? I've got another tabernacle eternal in the heavens not made with hands. Hallelujah. I've borne the image of the earthly as a beast, but now I bear the image of the heavenly as the Son of God. Is that right? This is a great day, one of the greatest days of all time. Even Satan himself, even Satan, can do the same thing that a Christian can do. Even Satan himself in the days of grace can do the same thing that I can do. How do you know that? The same thing that you can do. Amen. But the Bible teaches that he's doing it according to God's displeasure. That he's breaking the laws of God. He doesn't have a right to do it. Because he's not going in through the word, through the door, through the blood. He's a thief and a robber. You can climb up another way. That's right. You can go in another way. You don't have to go in by the door. You can go in another way. Through the days of grace, you come in another way. But if you don't go in by the door, you'll be bound. You'll be cast out. A lot of people are in the presence of God today. A lot of people are feeling the Spirit of God today. A lot of people speak in tongues today. But that don't mean that they got Christ. That don't mean that they got God. But we've got the greatest opportunity of anybody that's ever lived. I can transform myself by the renewing of my mind. I can transform myself from the old man into the new man. Paul said, be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. some of you have never been transformed. You think the same old rotten thoughts today that you thought 10 years ago. Some of you think the same old gossiping thoughts, the same old backbiting thoughts, the same old lustful thoughts, the same old evil desires that you've always thought. You've never been transformed, brother. But the Bible said, be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove that good and acceptable will of God. And therefore we can be transformed. We can leave the earth and go into heaven. That's the way devils and demons do it. That's the same way Satan does it. He can transform himself from an earthly condition into a heavenly position. He can transform himself by renewing his mind from an earthly atmosphere to a spiritual means by grace right into the presence of God. How do you know that's true? Somebody said, I don't believe it, but he's already done it. He's already done it. Not only that, but he can transform his mind until he can come and preach a revelation to you. Bible said he can transform himself into an angel of light. Into an angel of light. That's where all these preachers come from. That's not of God. Angels, ministers of the devil, coming to you preaching the word. Somebody said, I don't believe it, but they do. The Bible said they changed the word of God into a lie. And they come to you taking the word of God like Satan did. When he said over there to Jesus, said, thus it is written. And he quoted the scripture right down the line. Come bringing you the word, but they can't come and bring you the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the stopping place. That's the changeover. They can't bring you the revelation of Christ. That's one thing they cannot do. They can preach a revelation to you, but not the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is one thing that God has reserved for the church. This belongs exclusively to the church. Paul said, I see a revelation. I see beyond the veil. I see the manifold wisdom of God. I see the unveiling of the mind of Christ in the earth. I see things tonight. I've been acquainted with things. I've talked to God. And I've seen things and enjoyed things that tonight, if I could present to you, would stir you to the bottom of your soul. I've never expressed to you, and as far as I know, I'll never express them to you, because you're not spiritual enough for me to express them to you. But what I can't express to you, I try to express to you. Here we have a vision of God. God doing something. Here we are, a privileged people. Not just to look back and have the Old Testament unveiled, to be able to see what God has done, but the mind of God in this present hour, to be able to look and see what God is doing and what God's going to do. The Bible says the Holy Ghost shall show you things to come. Tonight I just don't know what's in the past. But I know what's in the present. I know what's in the future. I'm supposed to know. I've got an unction from God, the Holy One, that I should know all things. I make it my business to know. I talk to God about it. I ask God about it. I commune with God. And God tells me what he's doing. I said this morning, the reason some of you never do that is because you don't have a pure heart. Some of you don't have a pure heart. You could never do that. I thought about this last trip that I was on, how beautiful God knitted it together. Brother Ernie today reminded me how that he brought me a book from the Gateway of the West and gave me a little, some kind of a little metal emblem. And he said, Brother Pike, said, do you remember? I said, I remember. He said, you got some of the very first ones that would ever come from the open door of the Gateway of the West. I made the statement that that great revival started, broke loose in Missouri, and then broke loose there with a white man, and then boomeranged over to Azusa Street and went into the black man within the veil, just like when it came up with Brother Branham in a Jesus name move and went into a Trinity veil, just like it did with Peter when it came up with Jesus name and went into the dark age, into the Trinity Catholic teachings. God always works within the veil. And Paul caught the revelation. And Paul said, I've learned that God is a spirit and God is within the veil and that God can speak to you if you understand the mind of God. If you fellowship God, then God can talk to you and God can tell you what he's doing and God can point out the future to you and God can unveil his good treasures to you and the manifold wisdom of God can live within your heart. And on this trip, I saw how that this message, after everything else had gone out, thinking about Brother Ernie like the little widow, putting the last bit of meal in. Israel was the little widow. Lord, during a tribulation period, that's what he was pointing to. The last little bit of meal. And it was being taken away. And then when they get willing to share with God, willing to do something for God, then God begins to multiply. And all of a sudden today, begin to share with us what he had over there. Sister Dorothy began to put it in a bag so Sister Betty can bring it home. We went to the gate, went up to Missouri to typify the starting of the new, the gateway of the West. What a wonderful thing that was the other night. The same place that I got the near kinsman shoes when the revelation started, when God spoke to me. I got that white coat at the very same place. I had it on the other night, Royal Stewart. The white coat that I had on the other night, really typical and symbolic of something. And God really carrying on a great revelation. A great thing taking place. Right here when that wine come yesterday. And it had to do with the Passover. And had to do with the betrayal and Brother Zale's vision of the lights going out and just one light that was left up here in letting us know the days of Eli gone, the days of the church world gone, the days are over. And Billy Graham saying he couldn't see anything beyond 76, finally just resigned instead of done all I can for America. That is to let us know that the church world is at an end. The days of the church world is over and gone. And darkness is falling all around, everywhere. And nothing left except the revelation of Jesus Christ. The days of the coming of Samuel. Like the Lord spoke to me, said, call the well Mizpah, where Samuel judged Israel. The seer stood, saw the things of God coming, and stood and judged Israel and told Israel what was to come. I noticed going to the gateway of the West, and then after that, coming back over to Olive Branch. The Lord led me to go back to Olive Branch. And we went there and how that Brother Delmer being typical of the feminine side of it. Brother Delmer being typical of the woman side of it. Brother Branham coming in his age for the bride. And then Brother David Dell closing out for the bride. And Brother Calvin Baldwin, cousin to Brother Delmer, like Elizabeth and Mary. There, Brother Ball and Calvin leaning to the side that Brother Terrell did, picking up the old tent, getting the old tent that I brought out here one night, getting it from Brother Terrell and closing that out. And then Brother Delmer being the other hand. John being the forerunner. Brother Branham being the forerunner. Brother David Terrell said, the Lord told me to behold the Lamb of God closing out the forerunner. Is that right? The same minister that Brother Branham claimed. Behold the Lamb of God. Yes. And then Brother Calvin Ball coming in, closing out the woman side of it, which is the church world, which is America, which is this feminist side where women have ruled over men, closing it out. To bring in a sonship age. For America is known to be the woman world. But going back over, leaving the church ages, closing the woman age out, closing the church world out, moving back to Israel to bring in the head of the nation, to bring in the sonship, bringing back Christ the head, bringing it back. Going over to Missouri to start this last round. Brother Delmer having the new tent from this side, the virgin side of it. Picking it up. And then when we got over to Missouri, here Brother Delmer had gone. Wasn't nobody there but the tent. And Brother Glenn and Brother Bill. I looked, and Brother Bill had his hair cut off. I thought, now there's Brother Branham in the closing out of the church age. For Paul said he shaved his head, went up into the temple to worship with him, said, thus signifying the end of the law. Is that right? Closing it out. There was Bill with his head shaved. I looked, and there was Glenn. And Glenn with his red coat on. I thought, now there's that trip over Jordan. Joshua picking up. Brother Delmer gone. Brother Glenn preaching his first sermon under the tent. Representing us, because I was supposed to preach that night. And I felt like I ought not to preach. I waited for Glenn to preach. And there he was, representing the trip to the moon. You say, I don't believe that. Strangely enough, at the service, I was watching. I thought, now there's a trip to the moon, the going over of the Jordan. Like when we come from Olive Branch, we crossed over the Mississippi and they made that shot to the moon and landed on the moon. I thought, there's Glenn right there. And sure enough, at the service, he started asking about tapes. When he started asking about tapes, I said something to him. He said, well, I got that tape. He said, that's the woman on the moon. Why did he say that? God willing to confirm something. Not only that, but I took that little thing I hang around my neck, Jerry, that you gave me. I took it. I told Brother Taylor, I said, this time, Brother Ball want to come in this time. Will he come in this time, brother? I said, he'll come in this time. He'll surrender this time. He did surrender to it this time. Altogether surrendered to it. I know you're reasoning your mind about what you hear, but he surrendered to it. And said he needed a neck piece. I gave it to Glenn. I gave it to him and Bill to give to Delmer. He needed one. You know why? It came from Brother Jerry. You know why? Said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Put a yoke around him, brought him right on in. Bring him from the Lamb, the yoke of the Lamb. Bring him right on into the message. And so then we gave him some food. There we preached, went into Olive Branch, preached that. God gave us a great meeting there for the time it was there. And then I saw the revelation of Christ as they had the minister's meeting with Brother Dixon. Closing out the Roman age. You say, how do you know that closed it out? Brother Delma stood with me and said, I want to tell you something. No matter what you hear, I don't believe a woman's called to preach. I don't believe she's in the fivefold ministry. That's closing out, ain't it? Now, don't make no difference what he does after that. It's what he said right then. That's what counts. He closed it out. He said, Brother Pine, I'm with you. So I never seen anybody I wanted to work with any more than I do you. Closing out. What is it? Because the woman of age being closed out, it signifies that she must surrender to her husband. Is that right? She must surrender to the message. It indicated a surrender to the message. That's what Brother Ernie's doing. That's what Brother Tom's doing, coming in the tape. That's what the others are doing. It's the closing out of the woman and the coming in the sons of God. The headship coming back. The church is over. Doctrines and disciplines and man-made ideas. Denominationalism is over. And now Jesus Christ, the headship, is in the earth. The revelation of the Lord Jesus is coming in. Everything is surrendered to it. Everything's being swallowed up by it. Nothing can resist it. It's the coming of the Lord. Now look at it for just a few minutes. There we was, went over there to Olive Branch. And the Lord spoke to us and told us that we were supposed to go over there, over to Arkansas. I want to show you just how the Lord works. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong idea, but I just want to show you how precision God works. The woman that had the vision made the statement according to the way that Grady related it to me, that I had on a red suit. Is that right, Grady? I had on a red suit and said the multitudes was trying to get to me. Now, I want you to see Christ tonight now. Paul said, not I that live, but Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Said, I had on a red suit and the multitudes was trying to get to him. I didn't have no red suit. I never owned a red suit. Never in my life that I ever know of. And my wife had already ordered a red suit. Ordered it from New Jersey, which is the New England states. Has to do with the New England states going into the new land. God knowing that was going over to Olive Branch, which also typically represented going back to the Jews. Revelation 19, for the surrender. Coming from New Jersey, but it was made in Monroe. And I said the other night, made at Oxford, which goes back to the Jew that slaughtered. Made up there, which goes back to Brother, the little book. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Mickey. Partridge, mean little book. He works up there at Oxford. Going back up there, the suit was made here, but it went over to the New England states, Canada, Canaan land. Is that right? You say, what does that mean? I mean, the body was dead, resurrected, went to heaven and sat on the right hand of the Father, and then came back as a vesture dipped in blood. Came back. What was it? It was the little book. Came back. What was it made? In Monroe. Hallelujah. Praise God. I see something in that, don't you? That ain't so I said, what is that, the Monroe Doctrine? You ever heard of the Monroe Doctrine? Something was taking place. Sister Betty was moving to the will of God. So it came back. And And Brother Graves said, in the vision, said the woman expressed it like, it was like Elvis Presley lifted up. Now, let me get this right. I'm not an Elvis Presley. As a matter of fact, if I ever know of anything, was a low-down and filthy that is. And if I despise anything, I despise that. But he represents a great thing. He come out of the assemblies of God, and he represents a great thing. Now, I want you to get this. When we went over to Mississippi, God would have it no other way than for Betty to take the red suit. The red suit was there. She took it, went over there, and when we got our place to stay, we wound up staying on Elvis Presley Avenue. How many know where it's at? Over in Whitehaven. God was doing something. He made it work just exactly like the vision. Now, when we got to Arkansas, the first morning I wore the red suit. The Lord gave me a vision that night, and that night I saw something about the suit in the vision that night, so I got up the next morning and I wore the suit. That was the first thing. That had to do with my brother Charles. My brother Charles, 1963. Are you listening?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to listen just for a few more minutes. The Lord said, I got many things to say to you. Don't be dull of hearing. So then it had to do with my brother Charles. Now, to show you that it had to do with my brother Charles, when we got there, Brother Charles Ezell started talking about a Negro brother, a black man that was from Canada, and he was a man of renown. This man was a real outstanding Negro man. And he started talking about him, and he wanted me to meet him. And sure enough, I got to meet him before we left. But he said, you know, he said, this man says that he knew your brother. Well, I thought he was talking about Brother Grady. And he said, he knew your brother. I said, well, who was he? He said, well, this brother died so many years ago, about the way he calculated, you know. This brother died. I said, well, that must have been Charles. About 13 years ago when we come into this place. Said it's following the very same pattern, which of course it is. Like I noticed in Lee Vail's book, Lee Vail is persistently pointing out now that everything is in a cycle. You know how we've been teaching that everything runs in a cycle? I was happening to notice one of his books just opened it, and there it was. He said that everything was in a cycle. He didn't care what nobody said, said everything runs in a cycle. All right, now, there was, sure enough, when I got with Brother Delmer, I went uptown, and there sat a little old bitty rambler, the same model, just like it was that me and Betty went over there in. Everything fell in place just exactly like it did, which meant there was a complete cycle of something that God was doing. Now, I want you to get this tonight. Complete cycle of what the Lord was doing. Now look at the year 63 when my brother went out, when Kennedy went out. And right after that, about 3 years later, something when Brother Branham went out. It was in about the year 63. Long back there sometime when that great cloud appeared. How many remember that cloud appeared in the heavens? It appeared in the heavens. And I told some of you, when it appeared back there, I said, that signified the headship coming back to the body. Is that right? Brother Branham represented the bride of Christ. And the Bible said the bride hath made herself ready. So he went out on Sunset Mountain back out there. When he did, while Brother Branham was back out in the mountains, then this great thing took place. Maybe 27 miles high, 30 miles long. Scientists put it in the yearbook, and they got it in the Life magazine. And as a matter of fact, I spoke about Life magazine a number of years ago, and I spoke about the time that Batman thing come out, and I said that signifies Satan getting into the lifeline, and it'll kill it out. And sure enough, the famous magazine Life went out of existence. How many know that? That famous magazine after that went out of existence after being there all the years. But anyway, there it was, taking or projecting this great big halo. I saw it over at Ernie's today. He showed it to me, got it from Fred Toms up there. There was really something to that today. There it was, that great big head coming back. Here stood Brother Branham on the mountain, and he had the vision. In his hand was a sword. How do you remember that? The sword, and a voice said, the sword of the king. Is that right? And there it was with a pearl handle, a gold shield, and a silver blade. If Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Is that right? I explained it on tape somewhere and told you what each part of it meant and what the Lord revelated to me. He said the king's sword, which meant that Brother Branham had in his age finished his ministry and had come forth. When I spoke of Brother Allen, Brother Roberts, and Brother Branham, and everyone's dying and going out and the darkness falling and those things, when the angel of the Lord appeared to me, I spoke about that. I spoke about the handle on that sword called the sword of the king and what it represented. The bride had made herself ready, and here he was standing on the mountain, and because the bride had made herself ready, here come the headship right back down to pick up the bride. And he said he was picked up within the constellation of the angels. Is that right? And he was turned eastward, meaning going back to the Jews, that the days of the Gentiles was over, the closing out of the church age. How do you believe that's right? Now, Brother Branham started with the Assemblies of God back out there at Hot Springs. That's why their brother Charlie and Sister Aline over at that meeting went out to Hot Springs again to represent it. And they said it was in corruption when they got out there. And they saw what was happening. They had gone out and they came all the way back to Olive Branch, and there I married them. I married them at Olive Branch. See, which brought over to the Jesus name. How do you understand what I'm saying? Going from the Assemblies, coming back to the Jews. You understand what I'm saying? Look at it this way. Brother Brown closed it out in 63. That thing happened, which was typical for Kennedy, but was smitten in the head. You understand what I'm saying? It went on down to Brother Branham. Went right on down to Martin Luther King. Every step of it, one thing right after another, went just perfect. If we just had time to bring it out tonight, just exactly the way the Lord showed it. 63. This had to do with it coming back in. 63. I said that Antichrist had started showing himself this year. The healing of a deadly wound. 63. A complete cycle represented by my brother. I had a vision where I resurrected Kennedy and resurrected my brother Charles. All had to do with, you know, coming together. There was something to it. Hard for you to understand. Well, anyway, here it was. All boomeranging right back around, just exactly like the Lord had showed it. That was Brother Leon came over here to the meeting. And I said that this camp meeting that we were having had to do with the closing out of things. How do you remember that? That was the time when I made the statement that I wasn't going to fellowship certain people. Is that right? Until that time, Brother Red was walking with me. But when I did that, Brother Red wouldn't walk with me anymore. He separated himself from me. He said, how you know? Because Brother Leon, different ones, has made the statements. How did he come to him and said things contrary to us? Now Brother Red's been in the hospital. They said he's in the hospital, just got out of the hospital, but said he's got a poison and it may prove to be fatal. Say some kind of poison in his blood, and if God don't do something, it'll prove to be fatal. Now, how do you understand what I'm saying? It was during the meeting of this last camp meeting. And I also spoke about Brother Marlowe. And I said, Brother Marlowe, come back from New Mexico. And I said, that will end his ministry and he will go out. And I spoke about being down here, Brother Riz. How do you remember that? Brother Marlowe also turned against us and began to write things. What does it have to do with it? The Bible said the accuser of the brethren was cast out. They that accused them day and night. Is that right? Always finding fault with the brethren. See, we better watch where we're walking. We better watch what we're doing, because we can really get in trouble. That's right. You never know. A lot of times Jesus say friend, just like he did to Judas. But you might not be a friend at all. You understand what I'm saying? Now, just like now, typical of the Passover, that wine, typical of the Passover, the changing over, the going out of the light, the Gentiles closed out, denominationalism on the outside. What does it mean going in darkness? Going back into the carnal mind. What's the anointing of God lifts from the earth? You think in your own frame of mind. It's only when the Lord comes that there's the daylight. Otherwise, it's from evening until morning. It's nighttime. When Adam and Eve, as I said this morning, went into the night by going into the carnal mind, getting out of the mind of Christ, losing their covering, which is the body of Jesus Christ. Woman cutting her hair off, losing the covering, which is her husband. You understand what I'm saying? Well, when Samson grounded the mill, his hair began to grow back. His locks began to grow back. We spoke of the seven church ages. Gideon came over here. I gave him that belt. I gave him that belt. The Lord let me give him that belt. I gave him that belt called 20th Century Prophet. His name's Leon. Just like mine's Leon. That means lion. Now in Mexico they call him the lion. The lion of the tribe of Judah. So he took the belt. He went back over yonder and what did he do? They put him out of the church. Why? The assemblage was where the thing started. That was the greatest move of it all. That's where it started. It was fitting that it should be over. And there he was in it, represented the 20th Century Prophet. Brother Branham represented the 20th Century Prophet. There was Lion Tribe of Judah in it. Brother Branham worked right in it. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then they put him out. But they never put him out until he pastored seven churches. What was it? Brother Branham closing out the church ages. Seven church ages going out. What happened? Just as quick as it was closed out, here Brother Leon got out there and stood. The shepherd standing not like a wolf fleeing when howling fleeing when the wolf come, but stand like a good shepherd, began to get his sheep together. It ended the church ages. And then what happened on the strip? Here we went over to the gateway of the west to break the new thing, changing it over, Brother Delmer, laying it right down to the line to introduce this new coming in. Is that right? And then coming on, I want you to get this. Typical in that we wore the suit going over there. Wore the suit going over there. Typical of going to Jerusalem. And where did we? Right out of Palestine. Where did we go through? Right next to Cairo. Those are places. What was it? Coming on up. They pulled my Exxon card. God works everything after the fashion of his own will. You know, it was a humble card leading to the rapture. Exxon, meaning the unknown. X like cross. They pulled it. I got over to a black man station and the black man pulled my card. Now, they'd already tried to pull it over on Elvis Presley Avenue, and we got it straightened out, and they apologized. And they said it's Exxon fault. Got over there, and they pulled it. I said, Betty, just let it go. I felt God was in it. I told him, I said, we just let it go. And I said, we'll go on home. And I said, in God, give it back to us over there. We'll get it straightened out. Sure enough, I didn't worry about it. I went on my way, got up the road a little bit, and there I got a ticket. The law called me and gave me a ticket. Charged me $30 or $31. They booked me for $34, and then brought it down to 65 miles an hour. So they clocked me at 72, brought it down at 65, and come on, you know, and changed it around. And of course, after he wrote me a ticket, he cut across the medium and broke the law. You know, Paul said, stand a whited wall, stand to smite me after the order of the law, or judge me after the order of the law, smite me contrary to the law. He got out and cut across me and went back. But see, God was doing something. There, the cross experience, the catching away, the invisible part, the unknown, there, a cross experience brought the law in. And just as we got close to the Mississippi, which had to do with the crossing of the Jordan, there the law nailed us. And God said, don't say a thing. It really upset me. It made me nervous. It tore me up. And I went back there. And I went back there, and I didn't say anything to him, you know, in any way to reprove him anything. I just said, well, if you speed, you're bound to get a ticket. And they were amazed. They were shocked. You know, and I felt God made me so meek and humble at the particular occasion as a lamb led to the slaughter. He made it to be just exactly that way. And I didn't rebel at all. So I come back. I got him a car, and I went on over across the Jordan, the symbolic thing, and cut on down 55 and went on down to Brother Leon's. When I got down to Leon's, it was just time for church. Now, I got down there and I preached the sermon. After I preached the sermon, I come back out. I walked in there and it was soaking wet. And I went in there and thought that I'd give me some dry clothes. And I went in there and the first thing I saw, remember the closing out of the days of the Gentiles. The first thing I saw, God put it right in my face, was Morris Cirillo, the new anointing has come.
Hallelujah.
Are you listening? The Jew, leaving the Gentile, going back to the Jew, the closing out of the church age. Now you say, what does Marcus Aurelius have to do with it? Marcus Aurelius was the one that used Brother Franklin Walden's tent, the new tent, after we got the old tent. When Franklin got the new, after we baptized him in Jesus' name, he went right straight and let Marcus Aurelius use it over in Canada. Marcus Aurelius connected with the voice of healing. Now, the new anointing was come. When Brother Leon came in, Brother Leon said, Brother Pike, you know, said, here's the book I got. He didn't know I'd even seen it. said, here's the book. He said, I feel like giving this book to you. He said, it might have to do with Revelation. Hand the book to me, and I got it down the house right now. And the new anointing is here. All right, now, the closing out. I'm going to close out my 70 in just a few minutes here, the sermon, and meet you over on the other side. All right, now listen now, real close. Here come Brother Leon closing the church ages out. You follow me? That means the rapture of the church. How do you know that? Read it in the book of Revelation. When the church ages was closed out, the church was raptured. Is that right? The rapture of the church. Brother Zale said he looked and everything went dark. Is that right? And there was nothing left except the light that was shining over my head. And he preached the sermon, Ere the Darkness Come or something. Is that right? On Eli dying out, which is the denominational world, the regime of Saul, and then the coming in of Samuel, which is the revelation. Is that right? The light, the changeover from the Trinity veil to the unveil, which is the revelation of Christ. Are you listening? Jerry preached the message and said that in the vision, he was on the outside. Why was he on the outside? Because he's supposed to go to Mississippi. He wasn't numbered with the congregation. On the outside of the church, going to Mississippi. But the one that was left in there represented the closing out of the churches. The church age. Darkness coming. Now, the darkness falling, it represented the closing out. That everything was closed out. The light of God moving word. Brother Zale represents Peter. When the church ages is closed out, everything is over, the Trinity move gone, then he goes in there like an open door. Like an open door to the Father of great waters. What is it? Going back to the Jews. How do you get there? I get there because our charter that was set up in Mississippi. Father of great waters. How many remember that earthquake when I spoke about it? If we had an earthquake, that would do it. It changed the course of the Mississippi River. Like Father of great waters, grace, and then wrath. Or vice versa. You understand what I'm saying? And so then the changeover of it, the Holy Ghost, the mind of God, the manifold wisdom of God, the revelation showing that when the change was come, Brother Zale, like an open door, going there to start the new, the Jesus name, closing out of the Trinity. And you say, why you say that? Because darkness fell on the congregation. Is that right? Nothing was left except over my head, which meant that nothing was left except the revelation.
Hallelujah.
Is that right? Like Sister Linda's vision, one time she had a vision where everything went out. Wasn't nothing left but the light in me and Betty's trailer. All the lights went out, and our trailer was sitting on a hill. City can't be hid.
Hallelujah.
Have you understand what I'm saying? There's a lot more things. Every time I close this book after I preach to you, I always say there's a lot more things I'd like to tell you, but I have to wait till next time. How do you understand what I'm saying? The closing out of the church ages, the coming in of the headship, the woman going out, Brother Branham, the end of that thing of Brother Branham, Brother David Terrell, Brother Baldwin said, Brother Pike, I went down to Brother Terrell's tent the other day and said, I listened very carefully and not critically. Said, Brother Pike, and so help me God, said he ain't got nothing for the people. He said, I got up and left. He said, I know now that it's going to take the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, that sounds like the wife surrendering to the husband, don't it?
Yes.
The woman surrendering. Brother Branham, that part going out. I went over to Brother Ernie's today and he surrendered up his books. He just laid them in my arms and stacked them up and I brought them back.
Praise God.
Something is happening. He said, Brother Pike said, I want to go over into the islands with you. He said, next time you go, said, maybe I can go with you and we can preach some together. He said, I'm going to surprise you. He said, I'm going to come to visit you. He said, I want us to get together. He said, I want to ride around some with you. Some things that he wanted to show me, you know, and talk about. A changeover. He said, I'm putting my last meal in the meal barrel. Now, what does that mean? That means that you're supposed to feed him. That's why we took him a $200 offering tonight. It signifies a spiritual thing coming in. See, when the famine was on, he turned. When the brook dried up, something else had to happen. Isn't that right? You love the Lord? There's a lot of things that I'd like to say. But I believe that the things that I've said here tonight
is plain enough that you can believe in what I'm teaching. How many believe in what I'm teaching?
Amen.
It's plain enough. Paul said, the manifold wisdom of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiled God within the earth. God within. That's beautiful, isn't it?
Amen.
God walking and talking with us. Walking talk with Him. Look around and just, like the vision I had, said, look at these things up in heaven. Just look at these things in heaven. How beautiful they are. They are beautiful. The pure in heart shall see God. What is God? A revelation. If you're pure in heart, my brother and sister, you'll see the spiritual revelated God. Because that's what He is. He's a spirit. You see Him through the eyes of your understanding. Jesus said, seeing always what the Father does. That's why we're transformed and transfigured, translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. Already have been. Just now coming to acknowledge it. Isn't that right? Just now coming to wit the redemption of our body, the earnestness of our inheritance. So Brother Ernie's coming in. Said he'd come in last. Brother Ernie said, I saw the vision. The great army was ready to move. And said, I was the last one. Said, I run in right quick. Got on the end of the line. Brother Sam Henderson said he saw the plane leaving, everybody loaded. And said it's just a rope hanging down. He caught the end of it. It's just been a few weeks ago that Sam come in. Brother Billy Graham said, I can't see nothing beyond 76. So he quit. So I've done all I can. The closing out of the Gentiles. The Trinity veil gone. The end of Brother Branham's move. Because Brother Branham, Oral Roberts, and Billy Graham all gone now. All gone out. Oral done gone worldly. All gone out. Typifying that move been over. How do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.